Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network and, of course, the Holy Spirit. I'm very, very honored to be here and have the opportunity to share the greatest news that has ever existed of all time with you. Today, we're going to dive in a little different area. We're going to dive in an area that is focused on the enemy. What is his background? How did it happen? Where is his place? What is his desires? What is his reasoning for doing what he wants to do to you? Is it about you or is it about someone else? It could be about someone else, but all this time you keep thinking it's about you. Well, one thing I've learned, it's not about me. And that's why I'm here today to share this with you, with my good friend from South Carolina, St. Albert. Good morning, St. Albert.
Good morning, Rick. And boy, you said it so well. You know, we continue on thinking in the church that it's all about us. And that this war, you know, we're the ones who started this war. And we're the ones who are the troublemakers and all kinds of nonsense like that, you know, and this is completely erroneous. This is a power struggle, and we have been caught in between the power struggle because somebody does not want us to get into the right side and wants to be our God. And we're going to lay it all out. This is controversial, and not too many churches, in fact, very few churches teach this. But it's the truth. It's the war of the angels and Lucifer. And why is it that they're at war and the downfall of all this for them, you know? I mean, it's great. We're going to learn some things here that are, God, they're so good.
Well, I'm excited, and, you know, the studies that we're getting ready to dive into, I have done as well, and they are very exciting from the standpoint of understanding your enemy. And anytime you realize, first of all, people have to be awakened to the fact that they're in a battle, and if you're not aware you're in the war, the enemy's going to win. Let's just face that. Oh, we're in a war? You're not even prepared. One of the things I've learned early on is, you know, it was said recently by, someone, in the military that he was repeating from decades and centuries ago, where I think it was Washington said, it's better to be prepared for war and not need it than to not be prepared for war and need it. Right. Mm-hmm. So you gotta be prepared. You gotta get yourself in a situation. And this kind of goes along with, you know, a little bit of the situation why Trump signed the recent omnibus bill, not for any other reason than he knows the military needs the help and weakness. We don't want to get into all the politics of all that, but there's a spiritual side that also has a war going on. And we're going to find out about the wars in heaven. Yes, in heaven as they are on earth. And they're all tied together, and they're all tied together in a big battle that's going on. First of all, let's wake up. We're in a battle. Second of all, you're going to have to realize who is the enemy. And then we're going to have to figure out how do we deal with that, right? All right, St. Albert's got some things he's going to share with us from Jude chapter 1. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate. Okay, that's a mouthful right there. But left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of this great day, of the great day.
See, Rick, you know, most people think that that Satan is the big shot out there that really started all this wars and all that. And I got news for you. Satan is a pansy compared to all these other angels that are in the pit right now waiting for the last judgment. There was a revolution, and God is clearing out, just like what most people want out of the White House and all this, and God willing, Donald Trump will be able to do is clear out all this
swamp,
what we call swamp here. And I guess that God might call that swamp up there too. And so
that's right.
Yeah, this Jude here, Jude first, is the first revolution or rebellion of the angels in heaven. And I know some might disagree with what me and Rick are going to say now, but really the first habitat of these angels, and we're going to talk about this later on, they were here in the earth. And these angels went up to heaven to take the throne of God. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to take the throne of God. They left their first habitat, and we're going to talk about this in another aspect where it will say it. They wanted to take the throne of God by force, and they were all cast out of heaven into the pit, and they're waiting there for the end of times for judgment. Now, this right here is the first revolution that the Bible talks about in heaven. And there's another revolution that the Bible talks about in heaven. But we'll continue on through this first revolution. And Rick, if you want to go to the second
Peter. Mm-hmm. Yep, here we are in Second Peter. It says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of." What is it that they're ignorant of? "That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men."
Yeah, and it's pretty funny there that Jude is talking there about a world that was flooded. But this flood is not talking about Noah's ark or Noah's flood. This flood is a flood that was way before Noah. And it's funny that they talk about the worlds there being the land being outside of the water. In other words, that the land was not covered by water. Okay, and it's talking about a world of old. It's not talking about when it says the world of old. It's not talking about Noah's time. It's talking about a time far before Noah's time. In fact, some people say that this right here is the division between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, which is called the gap theory. That in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," is another time that is two times. Genesis 1:2 is another error or another time. So in other words, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth" was the time of the angels and the earth, and those angels left that state that they were in, that they were supposed to be the caretakers, I guess, or they had a rule, and they went to heaven to attack God and take God's throne. And that's the division. And you could see it. You could see this Genesis. If you look at Genesis, and you look at Genesis, like for instance, this Genesis 1:2 at the end,
when the Spirit of God moved upon the first, upon the face of the earth, that right there, if you look the word move and the Spirit of God moving, that's is kind of like incubation. In other words, the earth was frozen and the Spirit of God incubated the earth. It unfroze it. In other words, that it repaired the damage that was there before on this old world. Rick, I think Rick is going to show the...
I'm going to pull it up here. Primitive root to brood by implication, to be relaxed, to flutter, move, shake.
So, yeah, there's some...
And then in the lexicon, the feeling of tender love, hence, to cherish, with fear, tremor, hence, spoken of, the bones of a person terrified.
Yeah. There's other concordances and stuff where they talk about like a warming, which is something like what they're saying. There is like a reinstatement of the earth, of the earth, a warming of the Spirit on the earth. And if you could see also in Genesis 1:11, where it starts talking about that about the grasses and the trees and all that, it doesn't say that God created them at that moment. It says that there were seeds in the ground, and that those seeds started yielding and they came up. You see?
Yep.
So and it wasn't...
brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
Yeah. So it doesn't talk at that moment about creation of those seeds and those trees and all that. It just talks about that those seeds and those trees rooted up and they started producing, you see?
And so one thing that I want to go over on Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's not heavens. I've done some research on this, and it's pretty interesting. You'll see if you look up the New King James, it's going to say heavens. See the word heavens?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you go to the NIV, it's going to say heavens. If you go to NLT, it says heavens, but it's not. What it is, hold on a second. Heaven. You go to that and you look at it, and it tells you very clear, created the heaven. It's a singular word in Hebrew. And it is...
Strong's H8064, Shemayim.
It's a masculine noun. And if you look at that, unused singular, from an unused root meaning to be lofty, the sky. The dual perhaps alluding to the visible arch in which the clouds move. Why is it an arch? Because it's not what we're told. You know, there's so much wrong between science and Christianity, but there's also so much just not understood. And like you're saying, how it was already there. You know, how the earth was already there and everything like that. But a lot of people say the heavens. It's not the heavens. There's one heaven. And now it's divided into three segments. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. But it's a heaven. And the third heaven is where God is and where he resides, which is outside. The second heaven is the space realm. and the first heaven is where the birds fly. It's really kind of interesting and how that gets kind of misused, but the clouds move in an arch pattern. Well, that's because of the way that the heaven firmament is made according to the Bible. So it's kind of interesting.
And that's another study.
That's another study, yeah. Sorry for the little sidetrack there, but
it's just enormous, the amount of information, you know, that it's just too much. But anyways, Rick, that's the first rebellion in heaven. So, but we had another rebellion in heaven. And that second rebellion was started by no other than Satan. And that's the one that we know of the most. Most people don't know about the first rebellion. And that the second rebellion is, we could see that in Isaiah 14, 13 through 15.
Yeah, let's start with Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Which this is a whole study in itself, Lucifer, son of the morning, compared to what's going on out there. But how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. So he said in his own heart, this is Satan saying in his own heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. Uh-oh, time out. There is something going on in the north. There's some other studies just on that alone that will be mind-boggling, but we're not there today. So, then he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Interesting how he's exalting himself above God and how mankind today does the same thing.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And if you notice there, Rick, you know, just like we have talked before, everything there that Satan is saying, he's doing out of his own efforts. In other words, he wants to take the throne of God by his own efforts, which that's the same thing that he basically told Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, that by eating out of this tree, you will become like gods. Because that tree, as you know, it was, we talked about it before, that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the law. And what the law asks you to do is to use your efforts to gain perfection. So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to gain perfection and become as a god or as God by his works, which there's nothing out there except for God that is perfect, including the angels. They're not perfect either. They're as imperfect as man is outside of God. So perfection is only gained through Christ and his finished work and accepting that. And so this angel right here, or Satan right here, he will never become perfect, neither in this world nor in the other world. And we're going to find out that in the other world, people, you know, kind of laugh at him, you know. But anyways, that was the second rebellion of the angels. And we could look at that rebellion through Revelation, and it will be Revelation 12, 5 through 12. This area here, which is the same as John 12, 31, is the casting down of the second revelation, revolution, sorry.
So in John 12, 31, now is the judgment of this world. What is the judgment of this world? What's the judgment God's bringing upon the world? What's the judgment he's bringing upon the world? Everybody's in fear of the judgment he's bringing upon the world. Here it is. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. You know, I have heard so many people preach on God's coming to judge and what he's going to judge and how he's going to judge it and all this stuff. And here it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
it's so funny, Rick, that what you're saying right now is really incredible, you know, because always, every time God comes, is always a judgment of man.
Yeah.
Right. And here comes Jesus Christ, just like you said, to judge, right?
The world.
And where he would judge the world, and the first thing that people grab is he's judging me.
Yeah.
And really, there's two places in the Bible, this one where he says he casts out the prince of this world, and then there's another place that he says that he judged sin, Mr. Sin, not man, but sin. So in other words, man was never judged. It was sin, and it was the devil or the prince of this world that were judged.
Well, so, and we can prove that. All we got to do is go to the New Testament and slide down to Romans and go to 8 chapter 1. And it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So there is a caveat. There it is. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. And for sin, what did he do? Condemned sin in the flesh.
So all those teachers out there that are teaching that when Jesus Christ came, he came to judge man, you're completely wrong. He came to judge sin, Mr. Sin, and he came to judge Mr. Prince of this world. Yeah. And those were the only two judgments that occurred at that time. And those were the problems that were handled. And the only problems that have to be handled, because those are really the only two problems that men have. You see?
Take away the enemy and you take away sin. What do you got left? Nothing like that. And he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, what will he do? He's going to draw all men unto me.
And right there, Rick, it's a misprint, because you see where it says he will draw all men.
It's just
that man is not even in the original one.
That's
because
right.
Because when he did, is that he didn't draw all men to him. What he did is he drew all sin to him. What should have been there was all sin. Jesus Christ at the cross drew all sin to himself. Not all men are going to come to him, you see? So that addition there, that man is and not of the old scriptures.
How do we know it's sin? Let me show you. It's 12:33. This he said, what he just got done saying, signifying what death he should die. So we know he died to draw sin unto him and away from us.
That's correct.
Away from us. So very good. Let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12:5. And she, it's talking about the woman who's in the wilderness, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And he prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Where was he cast out? Into the earth.
Yep.
It's the belly of the earth.
Yeah. And Rick, this one right here is the second rebellion that was crunched down up in heaven.
You know, once the power of the devil was stricken away, which was the law, he had no more authority to go up in heaven anymore, because there is no authority. You know, remember that the angel, the devil, one of his names is an accuser. An accuser, the only power that he has is the law. If he doesn't have the law, he cannot accuse anybody of breaking anything, because there is no law to be broken. So before the law, he was up and down, accusing people of breaking the law and trying to get God in a fix, because we are his beloved creation. And he knew that those accusations were true because of the law. So he had to get rid of the power of the devil over man, of what he was trying to do with man, which was dividing man from God. Hmm. But he failed. God took away the power that he had, which was the law. And so there it is, the second rebellion against God and trying to take his throne. So, you know, let's look at this this all-powerful guy, what they talk about him in the pit.
They that see thee, who are they seeing? Satan. Shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet.
Can you? So, even the people that are, and the angels that are in the pit, are looking at this guy now and saying, This little puny, like they say, this little pansy, is the one that caused all this argument, that has done all this mischief here on earth. This little puny little thing, I mean, it's incredible. You know, it's incredible that we followed this guy all this time, and he was nothing but a dead corpse. I mean. And we give too much in Christianity. We give too much credit to this low-lying being that really is nothing. He's really nothing. The only thing that he has left is maybe some physical damage to people, or maybe the most powerful thing that he has is telling people lies with no power.
That's because he has no power. How do we know this? We know this because God says so. And I trust him. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Do you trust yourself? Satan did. How's it working out for him? The good news is, you're not him. You get to choose. Life is choices. Today, I ask that you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you would do that with me, bow your head and repeat after me these words. Lord, I believe that your Son died on the cross for my sins, was buried 3 days, and rose again out of the grave to victory. I believe and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you said that, the angels and multitudes in heaven are now rejoicing for the fact that you are now in the kingdom of God. You are now a saint. As the world is full of chaos, as the world is full of challenges, as the world is full of deceit, think not about that, but focus on the glory that God has for you, because you now are a saint. Never forget, God loves you with all his heart. He will always be there. Get into his word and remember the saints are